Welcome to another 2 hours of Jewish Soul Music. I'm your host, Charlie Bernhout. You know that each week I do try to bring you interesting Jewish recordings. The first hour is usually the mix, and the second hour is strictly Chazanut. For the past 3 weeks, I have been featuring interviews that I've done with various members of the world of Chazanut, and I've decided to continue with this. There are so many more yet to be interviewed, and my plan is to do the first hour of interviews and the second hour of Chazanut for some of the forthcoming weeks. Before we get on with the regular program, I would like to thank those of you who attended the rally against Iran this past Wednesday, and I encourage those of you who weren't able to be there to take note that you should contact your senators and congressmen to definitely vote against this. I mean, of all the crazy deals, insanity personified, this deal makes no sense. It guarantees that Iran will get the bomb, and that's only part of it. Can you imagine that we're obligated to give them $150 billion that we've held that they will be able to use to finance terrorism around the world? You know that money is not going to go to the Iranian people. And it boggles my mind that people don't even understand this. Even after this supposedly was signed, they're still calling death to America, death to Israel. They haven't changed their goals. And just to show you even more insanity, there's a clause in there which says that the United States will protect Iran from being attacked by anybody who would try to destroy their nuclear facilities. Which translated means if Israel should decide to go it alone and bomb the facilities, the United States will attack the Israeli airplanes and prevent this from happening. Whoever came up with this deal, it is worse than Munich. Worse. Chamberlain finally found someone worse than he was. Kerry, you should be... You should be dismissed, and words fail me at the moment to talk about our president. What he is thinking is beyond comprehension. Okay, let's get right to the interviews. The first hour will feature Maestro Mordechai Sobel and cantor Simon Cohn, and the second hour will be recordings of the great cantor David Kusevitsky, on the occasion of his 30th Yahrzeit. Very pleased to have with me Mordechai Sobel, who is the music director of Yuval Concerts, together with the Israeli Philharmonic Orchestra, among many other things. Shalom, Mordechai.
Shalom to you and to the listeners.
Okay, thank you. I'm playing this during the 3 weeks. I thought that this would be a great time to speak to various people who are the leaders in Chazanut, and you certainly are one of the world's leaders. So how about telling my listeners, first of all, where you were born and a little bit of your history?
I was born in Israel, and I'm in Chazanut since I'm 3.5 years old. When I want to tell a joke, I say that I'm in Chazanut 2 years before I was born. because when I was 3.5 years, came to Israel, Ben Zion Wittler. It was a Jewish actor and singer.
Uh-huh.
And we were living that time in Jaffa, Yafo.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't the time of having a babysitter, so when my parents decided to go to see his show, they took my sister and me with them, because where can you find a babysitter? What does it mean that parents will leave a child in strange hands? So we went to this show. And on the show, he sang two Yiddish songs, "V'nemt Menabisa Lemazel" and "Rivkale."
Mm-hmm.
You know the song?
Yes, I have his recordings, Bensi and Wittler, yes,
sure. Okay, so he sang it on this show, and when the show finishes, he received a standing ovation, and then he sang it again for an encore. This Vinempen Avisa Lemazel. The show is over, and we are walking out of the hall. It was in Galron Amphitheater in Yafo. And I'm holding my father's hand, and my sister is holding my mother's hand. And I start singing, Vinempen Avisa Lemazel, Vinempen Avisa Leglik. And then suddenly somebody turns over to us and says to me in Yiddish, "Oi, to sing Ale Zinkel Zoy Shein."
Yes, a beautiful.
The child is singing so nice. And my father says to him, "Yeah, he sings from day to night. Always." "How old are you?" 3.5, 4 years. He says to me, "Can we go back to this auditorium, to this amphi?" My father says to him, "Who are you?" "Okay, you cannot recognize me because now I look like a mensch. But I'm Bension Wittler."
Wow.
So we went back, and he asked me to sing. I didn't know the whole text, but I sang it, la 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 la. I sang the whole song, and then he says to my father, "You know what? Next week we are again in Jaffa, but in a movie theater named Noga. Exists until today. Can I ask you to bring your son, and he will sing it with me as an anchor?"
Wow.
That's how I started with Bension Miller.
Wittler, yes.
Bension Wittler.
Yes.
And since then, I drive Meshuge my parents to take me. I want to study Chazanut. I didn't like so much to sing Yiddish songs and Hebrew songs as Chazanut. That time when my father saw that he has a crazy son, he bought me a gramophone.
Yes.
One like you have. I saw your gramophone.
Yes, yes.
And with a million records. And I was sitting and listening to Rosenblatt, to Hirschman, to Kosevitsky, to Quartin, to Shore, to everybody. And study the stuff. One day I said to my father, "I want to study, not just to listen and to sing from the records." So my father said, I tried to find out, and then he came with an answer that there is in Tel Aviv a great Chazanut teacher, his name is Shlomo Ravitz. Let's go, we'll take a bus and go to Tel Aviv, and we'll see what he thinks. We came to Shlomo Ravitz. He left this time in Kremia Street, Shderot Rothschild, Rothschild's street. Says to me, "Sing something to me." And then I sang Modim Anachnu Lach, that we say it's Mordechai Hirschman, but the matter of fact, this is Eliyahu Schnapelinsky, and the second half is Rappaport. And when I sang it to him, he started crying, gave me a kiss in my head, and tells my father and me that Mordechai Hirschman was his student.
Really?
Yeah, so he says to my father, "Now I have two Mordechais.
I love
one that. Is Mordechai Hirschman, and now I have Mordechai Sobol." And he started calling me Motale. He loved me very much. What can I tell you, Charlie? This was a time that I was not 4 years. I was at that time 8 years old. And I started going by bus myself from Gvul Bat Yam, Jibiliya is the side of Jaffa, until Tel Aviv, the south of Tel Aviv, where Bet Knesset Bilu is, in Oel Shem, and where today is located the Man Auditorium. The center of Tel Aviv today, that time it was the south of Tel Aviv.
Yes.
And I went to him twice a week, Sunday and Wednesday. To tell you how much he loved me, that sometimes he asked me to come Thursday too. But Thursday. It was afternoon, and I have Friday, I have to go to school. So the arrangement was that I'm bringing my stuff to go to school with me. I slept over the night with Shomo Ravitz. He took me in the morning, 7 a.m., to the bus who is going back to Jaffa to my school.
Wow.
And when I was sleeping in his house, every night that I was sleeping there, he brought me a cup with milk and a piece of chocolate before I'm going to sleep.
Oh, what a story.
This was the time with Shlomo Ravitz.
Wow.
On the age of 15 and a half.
Oh, but did you but you recorded before you were 15.
Yes, I was one of four wonderkinds of Israel at the 60s. It was Chaim Eliezer Herzstück, Yoshua Kempinski, Pinchas Brown, and me. Mm-hmm. I was the youngest between them. So we were four kids. We turned over this country from the north to the south, from east to west, with concerts as kids. And our pianist, we had two pianists. One was Dr. Hanan Winternitz. And when he was busy, we had Leon Graf.
With the organ?
With what?
He played the organ a lot on the...
No, he played piano.
A piano?
He played organ just when he had to play on a place without a piano.
Oh, okay.
But he was a pianist. And we had concerts in the kibbutzim. This was a miracle. Non-religious kibbutzim. And non-religious places like Far Vitkin, and we went up till Metula and Nahariya, and down until Eilat.
Wow.
With concert in Be'er Sheva with Ashkenazic and Sephardic audience.
Interesting.
And we had wonderful concerts. At that time, or before it, in the middle of this period of time, Chaim Eliezer Herzstück and Kempinski and Brown recorded records.
By the way, I have all their records and yours. Yes.
All the four?
Yes. Yes, I do. And I've played... I have listeners who love to hear those recordings. Anyway, I have to play them again. Yes.
You see, Chaim Eliezer Herzstück, he was the real Koussevitzky. And he sang, I remember Moshe Koussevitzky saying to the audience in the Hala Tabut in Tel Aviv, you see, this child, Chaim Eliezer Herzstück, you know what the difference between us is? He sings the same stuff that I sing, but he sings it much better.
Oh, wow.
This is Koussevitzky saying about Herzstück, about Chaim Eliezer Herzstück.
Interesting, interesting.
Yeah. So, because they had the recordings, and all the recordings were recorded in a company, let me recall, it doesn't exist today anymore. I think, yeah, I remember. The name was Makolit.
Mm-hmm.
Makolit.
Yes.
And this company approached my father and they offered him to record my record. They invested the money and they gave that time to us 50% of the sailings, which was a good deal.
Yes.
And I recorded the record. The first one was Rinaud Fila. If you have, you have this recording too.
Yes, how old were you then when you recorded
it? I was that time 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And a year later I recorded another record, but that time I was already so deep in Chazanut with Ravitz that, by the way, you know that Ravitz was against recordings.
No.
Yes. he was the part of four cantors in his time: Pini Minkowski, Eliezer Gurovich, Boruchlei Brazovsky, and him. That they were against Rosenblatt, against Sirota, and they boycott all the cantors who recorded.
Why?
Why? Because they said that records are being played in all the not proper places for Jewish things.
Tefillot, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow.
You hear me?
Yes, that's something.
So that's what he did. And when I, when Herschtick, Kempinski, and Brown, which were Brown not, but Herschtick and Kempinski were also students of Shlomi Ravitz, when they came to him and said that they want to record, he said, "Okay, go and record." When I came, he said, "No." I said, "Why no?" "Because you are my student. You are my real student. And I boycott the recordings, and I don't want you to record." And I didn't record. Until Ravitz came one day to me and said, it was the owner of Makolit came to my house and told me that time changed and they must record you so it will live forever.
Wow. Yes.
And then he gave me permission to record the record.
What a great story.
More than this, on one of the days that I made a rehearsal with Leon Graf, that he is my accompaniment in this record, he came with me to his house to listen how I'm singing, especially Rachem Noav Shmuel Weiser, that he wrote it. And Ravitz corrected this piece that Shmuel Weiser wrote and sent it back to Shmuel Weiser, and it was printed like Ravitz wanted. So he came to the rehearsal with him, said what he had to say and to correct, and then the day of the recording in the studios, he came with me. He was sitting the whole evening when I recorded this record. I said that my accompaniment was piano with Leon Graf.
Graf, yeah.
Except one number, Shalom Alechem, that's the number who opens up this record, which I composed, and in the studio, I'm playing the piano and singing.
Fantastic.
Okay, then let's jump when I'm 15 and a half. Ravitz came with an offer to my father that on this age, 15 and a half, exactly like his age when he started, he wants me to be the chazan for high holidays in Ohel Shem Tel Aviv. And he's going to conduct the choir with 40 people. My father said, 15 and a half, ayingale. How come a Yingale will be a chazan? He said, that's the same age that I took the position in Kharkov. And it was like this. I studied with him more than half a year, the Musafim and Ma'ariv for Rosh Hashanah and Kippur and Ne'ile, and I was the chazan there. I will take some time and send you by mail the flyer that says the youngest cantor on the world with the oldest conductor on the world.
I love it. I love
it. He was 93 years old when he conducted the choir.
What year was would that be?
This was not only for 1 year. I davened in Ohel Shem until I went to the army. Charlie, are you there?
Yes. I was. What year did?
I have a noise here on the line.
It's on your phone. But what year did you?
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me? Okay.
Hello.
Yes. I'm sorry, there was a slight problem with the phone. Mordechai, my question was, what year was that you davened for the High Holidays?
It was 67, and I davened as a boychik of 15 and a half.
Okay.
In Ohel Shem Tel Aviv. And I have a flyer that I will send it by mail to you that says, High Holidays in Ohel Shem Tel Aviv, the youngest cantor on the world with the oldest conductor on the world.
Great, great. I look forward to seeing that.
And Ravitz was 93, 94 years old, conducted the 40-piece choir. Male choir, of course, and kids. I was a cantor in this Ohel Shem until I went to the army. The age of 18. I went 18 and a half. So 3 years I was chazan in Ohel Shem Tel Aviv. I want to tell you that my last year when I was before I went to the army, in this choir of Ohel Shem, Ravitz went before the High Holidays, he went to the Opera House in Tel Aviv and took a few singers from there also to support his choir. One of the singers in this choir was Placido Domingo.
Really? Oh my
yeah,
God. Wow.
That was the singer in the Israel Opera. And one of the nice anecdotes that I tell is that on Simchat Torah, when there is a minhag that everybody gets an aliyah, the Gabbe went over to Placido Domingo and says to him, Yamoid. So he says to him, I'm not Jewish.
That's quite a story, yes.
He remembers this until today.
Uh-huh.
Okay, then I went to the army, and I was a soldier in Golani unit. Was sitting on the Suez Canal. In the middle of the service, you know that in Israel you serve 3 years.
Yes.
In the middle of the service, came for a visit Rabbi Goren, who was the chief rabbi of IDF. He knew me from the time I was a child, and he says to me, "What are you doing here?" I said, "What do you mean? I'm serving here." No. I need you for my choir that I have, the rabbinical choir. I said that I'm here in Golani. He said, okay, take your stuff. You are coming back with me from Suez with my helicopter, and I will arrange everything. I'm looking on my commander, and he says to me, listen, you can't say nothing. It's a high rank of the army. He says, go with him. We landed in Tel Aviv. He says to me, you have 2 days off, then come to my office in the headquarters of the army, and I'll tell you what to do. When I came there, all the papers were signed to transfer me from Golani to the rabbinical choir. So I served in the rabbinical choir under the leadership of Menashe Levram.
Was Ari Brown a successor?
No, before his time. The cantor was Avram Carmel.
Oh, okay, Carmel. Yes.
Ari Brown came later. I wasn't in the choir already. It was later.
Were there recordings? Because I have many recordings.
Yes. You have a recording. The record is Manavu Alearim, which I sing there two solos on this recording. It's a double record. You will see it.
Okay.
On the Marc Chagall windows in the Hadassah Hospital in Jerusalem. That's the cover.
Okay, I have to go through.
And we served together with a few nice boychikles. One of my friends at that time until today is Dudu Fischer.
Mm-hmm.
And with him, cantor Avi Albrecht. If you will take this record, you see the pictures, you will see nice young boychikler.
Okay.
Soldiers.
Albrecht and Dudu and you. Wow. Wow. Okay.
It was one more, but he passed away. His name was Menachem Hollander, Moni Hollander. He passed away in New York a few years ago. I don't know if you are familiar with the name.
That I'm not. Did he record? Because it doesn't sound familiar.
Yes, he has also a record.
Okay.
The matter of fact, on his record, I'm playing the piano.
Uh-huh. So then what happened after the your service in the army?
After the service in the army, I got married. This was in 75. With my wife, Yona. And we have 4 children. The oldest is Ophir,
mm-hmm.
which is a musician, a conductor, a composer. He's today my boss.
I love that. The other 3 children, are they involved in music?
They all have a good ear for music. And they love music. But my second boy is one of the big brains in SanDisk, in the company SanDisk, the American-Israeli company. And he's more sitting in the aircraft, in the airplanes of El Al, than on one place in Tel Aviv.
Uh-huh.
He flies back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter, Hila, which was the secretary and speaker of Knesset member Slomyansky is today also in America for a year. The one who stole her from Israel is a small company named Intel.
Wow. Yes. That's something.
And my youngest boy, my Mijinik, he's out of the army almost 2 years, and he studies in Bar-Ilan University, computers.
I feel
very bad that I don't understand what he says to me.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful family, really. And Ophir, certainly, he's at the forefront today in the world of chazanot and music. By the way,
Ophir today is the music director and conductor of the rabbinical choir of the army, and is the conductor and music director of the cantor, the chief cantor of the Israeli Defense Force.
Abramson?
Yes.
Sorry. Uh-huh. I didn't realize...
How life went?
Yes. Yes. You got married in 75. Was it? Okay, and you were still... producing and recording.
I finished the academy in Tel Aviv, and Professor Bar Zimra made a nice contact with Professor Schindler in the United States, and at that time I was one of the main arrangers and conductors for the Hasidic music in Israel. I made something like 6, 7, 8 records a year as a music director and conductor and arranger for all the Hasidic parts like Gur and Radomsk and Koydenov and Nadvorne and Bobov. I must give a big jump, because this is very interesting. When I was in the top of the ladder with all the recordings and records, one day comes to my office in Bnei Barak, I left this time, a man named Shmuel Gutfarb. This was in 85. And he says to me in Hebrew, listen, you are a good musician, a very popular musician, but I need you to make money. I said, I need myself also to make money.
Yeah, that's rare.
And then he started to explain himself. He said, I am the chairman of the circle of friends of the military hospital Asaf HaRofe. I said, okay, nice meeting you. So we need money to go out of the barracks and to start building buildings and to buy equipment, medical equipment, and you are going to raise the money for us. I said, fine, I don't know how to do it. I never raised money, not for me, not for anybody else. He says to me, I want you to make concerts that the money will be only for one purpose, for us. So I said to him, you know what? If you will be able and willing to make cantorial concerts, I have interest. Because that time, the Chazanut went so down here in Israel that nobody listened to Chazanut or wanted to have a Chazan in Israel. So he says to me, I'm going back to them, to the managing director of the hospital, and I will come back to you tomorrow. And he came back and said, okay, we are ready to make a concert next year. What do you need? You know, I was in shock. I didn't know even what to ask. So I said to him, to listen to a canto with a piano crying for 2 hours, I'm not sure that people will come. But maybe we'll build a small orchestra for it. He says, okay, how much is a small orchestra? I said, 12 musicians. He says, okay, who is going to sing? I said, I'm going to find out. I really don't know. Give me a week, two, and I will know. But the rumors went around, and one day I received a telephone call from a man named Milkin. That's not the same Milkin that you know, the family name.
Uh-huh.
Milkin in Israel.
Okay.
And he says to me, you know, you serve together with my nephew in the army. He wants to be a chazan. Take him, study with him a little bit, learn him one or two pieces of chazanut, and let him perform on your concert for Asaf HaRofe. And I will donate $500 for Asaf HaRofe, $500 to him, and $500 for you. I said, fine. You see, I'm already a rich man. I have $500 for doing nothing yet. Who was this person, Charlie?
I'm trying to guess. I can't imagine.
Dudu Fischer.
Dudu. Oh.
So I studied with him the three first numbers that he knew in Chazanut. One was Ava Rachamim of Pinchik. The other one was Tier from Kvartin. And the other one was Ratzei of Schlossberg. Three numbers. And they were the numbers that he sang on this concert. And then comes to me another phone call. And he says to me, I'm speaking from the Chevra Kadisha in Tel Aviv. My name is Waxman, and I want to come to you. And don't tell me not, because it's very dangerous. I'm in the Chevra Kadisha. He comes over to my office, and he says to me in Yiddish, my Adem, my son-in-law, Meintal is a chazan, thinks that he's a chazan. I want you to take him to the concert that I heard yesterday in between Minchah and Maariv that you are going to have. And you know, up front I'm telling you, I will donate $500 to Safarov Hospital, and I will pay him his airfare. Are you ready? I said, I never, let me hear him. I don't know who is this item of yours. He says to me, I have a cassette. And he gave me a cassette tape. A cassette, yeah. I put it in the machine, and I hear Chazan. So special. Terrific. What a voice. What a coloratura. What a krechts. What neshume. I said, right away, okay, I'll take him. No, nobody knows the name in Israel, but I'll take him. Who is this Chazan, Charlie?
I can't even begin to guess.
Ben-Zion Miller.
Ben-Zion Miller. Oh, wow. What a great story that is.
Yeah, and then, no, the story starts now. And then I had a dream to see and to hear here on our stage in Israel, Cantor Tzvi Aharoni from Florida.
Right.
I love the singing, and he knew me as a child. So I pick up a telephone to him. It's not this time to pick up a telephone. You know, in the 80s, you have to wait a half day until you have a line.
I know.
To call America.
I remember.
And then I said to him, Tzvi, Mordechai Sobol. Oh, Mordechai Sobol, with the voice of a great man, of a big man, not as a child. I said, yes, what is it? I say, I know that you are singing your Chazan in Florida, but I'm going to have a concert with a small orchestra in Tel Aviv, in Oil Shem Tel Aviv, and the money, it's a benefit concert, the money goes to Asaf HaRofe Hospital. And the project is named Aliza Begin, Menachem Begin's wife. He says to me, oi, I want so much to come, but I cannot. I said, why? I didn't say when is the date. Why can't you come? He says to me, when I was in my young age, I was one of the Etzel members under Menachem Begin. And there is a prize on my head until these days from the Britain Queen.
Really?
And I cannot leave United States. To go out of United States because I'm afraid to do so. Did you hear about it, Charlie?
I'm listening. This is incredible.
Incredible. So I said to him, okay, let me check one or two days and I will get back to you. I closed the phone with him and I'm calling Yechiel Kadishai. He was the secretary of Menachem Begin. And I said to him, I have to see Menachem Begin very, very urgent. I'm telling him the story. He says to me, take a taxi. Where are you? I'm in Neva. Take a taxi. Come to Tel Aviv. And because in a half an hour, he will have 6 minutes to sit down with you. I'm getting into the room with Menachem Begin. He says to me, and with Yechiel Kadishai, of course. And he says to me, okay, what can I do for you? I said to him, Mr. Begin, you know about the concert? Yes, I know. So I said, I want to bring a cantor from Florida, and the story is this and this. He says to me, baloney, bullshit. There is no cantor that was in the Etzel under me. Don't tell him not to tell you stupid stories. I can't help. I said to him, wait, I will tell you what was his name that time. He had a nickname, like everybody in the Etzel.
Mm-hmm.
He says, what was his nickname? I said, his nickname was Hirsch. Begin catches puts two hands on his head and says, oi, Hirsch is alive?
Oh my God!
Hirsch is alive.
What a story!
I said, and Hirsch is a Chazan. I said, yes, he's a cantor in Florida, and he would like to come to the project that is named Aliza Begin, but he's afraid to leave United States. because of it. He said to me with the posik, Kazeh re'e v'kadesh. Listen to me. I will arrange the two Mossad agents will go to the United States to his house. They will bring him to Israel, and they will return with him to the United States. And he says to me the posuk from that Judah said to Jacob before they went down to Egypt. Anochi ervenu miyadi tevakshenu. Tell him that that's what I said. Charlie, this was exactly the story what happened. They brought him to Israel, he sang on the concert, and they took him back to the United States.
What an incredible... I'm crying. I can't believe it's such a great story.
And wow. What Yechiel Kadishai did after this, he contacted the British government, and he canceled the prize on his head. But he took a half a year after the concert. So, ask me how was the concert.
Go ahead. How is the concert?
This was the first concert in Israel with an orchestra.
Uh-huh.
I had three cantors, three aroni, Ben Zion Miller, Dudu Fischer, a clarinet player named Zohar, and I worked almost a year of writing arrangements for the orchestra. This was full days that I worked. At night, I took all the posters with my wife. She took water and flour, put together, and I went to put up the posters on walls in Tel Aviv and in Ramat Gan and Petah Tikva, wherever I could. At night, 2 o'clock in the night, I didn't want people to see and recognize me. So that's what I did. And the Asaf Rofe Hospital sold tickets, or tried to sell tickets. Okay, the evening of the concert is now. We are getting into Ohel Shemet Tel Aviv, 900 seats. In the hall, I see 150 people. I believe that 100 people is my family.
Oh.
Asaf Rofe Hospital lost $5,000 this evening. It was a wonderful concert, but it was a
failure. Financial failure.
Failure.
Yes.
The day after, I say to my wife, after a concert like this, I can't find a place for myself. I must go to Asaf Rofe Hospital. I drove to Asaf Rofe Hospital, and I come to the main office. The secretary sees me, knew it, and said, Mordechai, what are you doing here? I said, I must talk to Dr. Varon. She says, he is busy the whole day. What happened? I can tell you, I'm sitting here. I believe that he is not an angel, so he will have to go out of his room to the bathroom. Then I will catch him. I waited for 2.5 hours sitting next to his door. The door opens up. He is in the door. Mordechai, what are you doing here? I said, I need 20 seconds of yours. He says, come in. What is the problem? I said, I know that you lost $5,000 this evening. He says, okay. I said, I cannot live in peace with myself. So please, I want to pay this money. I will pay you every month $500 a little less, and in a year I will finish this $5,000. He says to me, are you crazy? I will let you pay? You did a wonderful concert. We have to find out how to sell tickets for Chazanut, because I see that nobody wants to come. But after this concert that you had yesterday night, I'm sure that there is a market for it. Can you suggest something to me? I said, if you are not going to kill me, I will say something. He says to me, say. I say, we had a hall of 900 seats. Let's take the Man Auditorium in Tel Aviv, 3,000 seats. He said, okay, and what? And I said to him, there is today still alive in South Africa, Simcha Kosevitsky. Let's bring him to Israel, and we'll make a salute concert to the Kosevitsky family. Maybe this talks to people. And I will take a few chazonim, and we will have to make a bigger orchestra, not 12 musicians. I don't want to be very brutal, but I will ask for 18 to 20 musicians. He said, 80 musicians, how much will it cost? I said, the experience of the last concert is that it will cost, you know, it's money.
Right.
He says to me, you know what? Let's do it. I said, how come you do it so fast? He says to me, you see, I have from day to night people coming here and trying to convince me how to make money for the hospital, and I'm always losing money. You gave me a way up front to lose money. So maybe I will have a surprise and will not lose money on this concert. So a year later we had a concert, and they made $10,000 profit. And since then, we had a yearly concert.
Uh-huh.
And we bought a lot of equipment. If you go today to the hospital, to Asaf Rofe Hospital, you cannot recognize this hospital. But if you go to the heart department, to the oncology department, to the baby department, you will see all the medical equipment was raised by cantorial concert director and conductor Mordechai Sobol.
I love it.
So in 1990, I said the Chazanut cannot live in between walls of a hospital. And then I established the non-profit organization Yuval.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, to make a long story short, since then, we have 5 concerts a year in the Mann Auditorium for the last 8 years with the Israel Philharmonic Orchestra, 80 musicians. And Charlie, you were on our concert that we had in June.
Yes, it was magnificent. I loved it.
And you saw this big and wonderful orchestra.
Yes. And
you saw
the choir. The choir was.
You saw the choir. Yes. You saw the people in the audience.
Yes.
In the hall.
Yes.
We have 1,800 subscribers for the 5 concerts. In top of it, we have another 8 to 10 concerts around the country,
mm-hmm.
mostly in the summertime, in all the cities, except Tel Aviv.
Uh-huh.
And from time to time, I conduct in Poland, I conduct in France, I conduct in the United States. We were together involved in 3 concerts that I had with the New York Philharmonic Orchestra. And I have concerts with Cleveland, with Baltimore, with Chicago. I had concerts, and I have concerts in Toronto. I have concerts in Australia. This year we are going to have a concert in Beijing.
In Beijing?
Which is known as a cantorial lover's audience.
Come on. Really? I love it.
You see? Basayo from China, uh-huh. Beijing, was contact me for half a year, and I didn't answer because I thought that this is a joke. Suddenly, he was here in Israel for a meeting with the Israel Philharmonic Orchestra.
Wait, who is this?
The impresario from Beijing.
Oh, okay. Beijing. Okay. Uh-huh.
So he calls up to my secretary, wants to meet me, but when I heard that he's here with the Israel Philharmonic Orchestra, I knew that it's not a joke. Uh-huh. I met him. He says to me, we would like to have a concert with you, with our Philharmonic Orchestra. I said, what type of concert? He says to me, Chazanut, and Yiddish, and Ivrit, like you hear. I said, what do you understand in Chazanut and Yiddish? He says to me, let me ask you a question, and this was the answer. Like all the Jews, I'm answering with a question. If we have a concert of opera, do we understand Italian or French? No. We understand the beauty of the music. So we would like to have a concert in Beijing. And this is going to happen March 16.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic.
It's a story, huh?
Oh, yes. Really. By the way, when Benny and I were running Cantor's World, you really did some magnificent concerts with us. They were memorable, really, really were.
Thank you very much. And I remember now that we had the Shabbat. You remember in New Jersey,
yes.
In a hotel.
Yes. Yes.
So we had a pickup choir from New York.
Uh huh.
That we had 1.5 rehearsals with them. And it was a wonderful Shabbat with the Helfgott, and I believe it was with Motzen, no?
Mm-hmm.
The Shabbat.
Yes.
Motzen and
those Shabbatons were wonderful. Somehow we have to get them back again. They're very special. They are really very special.
Yeah, but to arrange concerts and to arrange Shabbatot, this I say for. Concluding my interview with you,
uh-huh.
Is that to have nice concerts and nice Shabbatot, arranging them good, you need only two mishagoim, two crazy people. When you have the crazy people, it works. When you had there Benny Rogoznitsky and Charlie Bernhardt, it worked. When I had Mark Shapiro in Florida, it worked.
Uh-huh.
If you stop it and you cannot find a replacement for the crazy people, everything is going down. So please, Charlie, and the same thing I said to Benny, be crazy again. Be not crazy, be Mishugi again and do it.
Oh, wow. Yes. We talk all the time. You say, we don't know, you know, we dream about it, but look, dreams come true sometimes. You know.
Right.
Well, Mordechai, this was such a great, great story. I mean, this interview, I believe this is not an interview, this is a schmooze. I appreciate so much your taking the time to share these this history of your life, and I hope you have many, many more years of success with all your endeavors, because it's keeping Chazanus alive, to say the least, and it should just go with good health for many, many more years.
Thank you very much, and regards to all the listeners.
Okay, thanks again.
Shana tova to you all.
Thank you so much. Very pleased to have with me on the phone my friend, cantor Simon Cohn, in Yerushalayim. It's in Jerusalem, isn't it?
I'm at the moment in Ra'anana. I think the last time we met was in Jerusalem.
In Ra'anana, okay.
I live in Ra'anana.
Aha.
Uh-huh. Okay. How are you, Charlie?
Shalom. Things are great.
Shalom to you.
During the 3 weeks and thereafter, I've just decided that I want to do some interviews for historical purposes. And you're on the list, so...
Wow, that's very nice, thank you.
So, let's begin. Where were you born and raised?
I was born in London, in Hampstead, in northwest London. I was brought up there, Menorah, Hasmo, Manchester University. I grew up basically surrounded by music. Both my father and mother, very musical. I'd sang in choirs when I was a kid. My grandfather was quite a famous rabbi in Dayan in London, and he was also a chazan in the East End and in Stamford Hill. But to be honest, as a child, I sang in choirs, Lewandowski, Zulte, Mombach, but wasn't really aware of chazanus or chazonim. But I was very much exposed to classical and Jewish music. As a child, my father took me into his choir, which was in St. John's Wood. And I used to sing in St. John's Wood all the traditional English music for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a chazan there, I think, at the time, Abramovich. think that was his name. I think he was a bass baritone. He wasn't a tenor. And it was a, it's a massive shawl, about 1,600 people. And in those days, it was absolutely packed. And it was me and my brother, Jeremy, I think you know, also lived
in New York.
And we were the tenors. My father was the conductor and the bass. And there were a few other choristers as well. I don't actually remember who they were. And that was my first exposure, I suppose, to Jewish liturgical music. And to be honest, after about the age of 16, it almost completely disappeared. I then got married, came to Israel, made Aliyah. And later on in my married life, we were having lunch with somebody who learned with Naftali, and he said to me, "You realize you just hit a top C?" And I said, "And?" And he said, "Not many people can do that." And I said, "Okay." So he said, "You should come and learn chazonus with Naftali in Taki in Tel Aviv." And I said, "I don't want to be a chazon." So he said, "You have to. You have a talent. Hashem has given you a present. You have to use it." It took him about 6 months to persuade me to come. And then I turned up. How old was I then? About 30, 29, 30. And I came in, and they were, Raymond was at the piano, Raymond Goldstein.
Yes.
The piano, and Naftali was standing on the stage, and the auditorium was full of all the students. At that time, the students, just so you understand, the students at that time were Azi Schwartz, Gideon Zellermeyer, Nathanael Hirschstig, Moscovich, just trying to think who else were there, Shimi Bergman, Ruben Pinsky, Nathanael Baram, he came a few years later actually. And that was the first tenor line. So you can imagine the first tenor line was quite something.
Mm-hmm.
And they were singing Lewandowski's Matova, which, of course, I grew up with. So I was able to sit there and sing with them. And the next thing I know, Naftali comes out to me and says, "We're having a concert in 2 weeks in Migdal David. I want you to sing a solo."
Oh, wow.
And I was like, "I'm not singing a solo. I'm terrified." And he said, no, you'll be fine. And he put me on stage, and I sang Zacharti Lach from the Yom Yonoroim Davening by Lewandowski. And I have to say, I was absolutely terrified. My parents were very proud of me. But once I actually got going, I think it sounded okay, because they asked me to do more and more. And suddenly I just got inundated with bookings and people asking me to daven and concerts and Shabbatot and England, and from there just went b'chayr l'chayr, and it just grew. It was a bit of a shock, because there was a tremendous vacuum, because there was suddenly a tremendous need on my part to know Nusach in a much, much greater depth, and to understand Chazonus much more. And of course, I've been thrown in at the deep end, but I didn't have the kind of pedigree and exposure that that all the other guys had, you know. But Naftali and Raymond and Chaim Feifeld and the guys, they taught me well. And then after, Mordechai Sobel took me under his wing and taught me even more, embellished, you know. I've had the schut of being with Moshe Stern once or twice, which is also a tremendous experience. Anybody who is in Jerusalem should go and visit him. It's just amazing to be exposed to that legend.
Yes.
And you know, thank God, ever since then it's just taken off. I've been in all over the world, sung just about everywhere.
Are you searching for a regular position?
I was actually offered in London recently a position, but in Israel the permanent positions are a few and far between. And to be honest, I prefer to live my life in Israel and go visiting new communities around the world. The job that I was offered in London, I actually turned down, because I don't want to live outside of Israel. I want to live in Israel. I love Israel. It's the place to be. Sorry, I know most of the people listening to this in New York and the States all live outside of Israel, but I'm sure everybody would agree that Eretz Yisrael is the best place to live, Medinat Yisrael. And if I go and live in London, so then I'm not going to be able to do that. My kids are here. My family's here. This is where I want to be.
What's your feelings about the future for Chazonus?
Well, I have to say the last 14 years that I've been involved, 13, 14 years that I've been involved, I've heard so many times people saying Chazonus is dead, it's dying, and then it's revived, and then it's dying, and then it's revived. And I am finding that apart from the big concerts going on in Israel, most of the cantorial concerts are an excuse to sing anything but Chazonus. So if I'm invited to do a concert in England or in Spain or in even in Istanbul, they want one piece of Chazonus, lots of one piece of Yiddish, Israeli, a piece of Hasidic music, and Broadway. And then you can finish off with another piece of Chazonus at the end. The desire to hear heavy Chazonus is not really around anymore, apart from in Israel, when Dr. Sobol or Eliyahu put on these cantorial concerts. And even then, I still have a feeling that people want lighter and lighter and lighter.
Does seem to be the trend, doesn't it?
Well, I don't know what's brought it on. It's possible that there was a long time where shuls stopped paying chazonim.
Mm-hmm.
And then other people would go to the bima and they would try and daven. And wannabe chazonim who weren't really capable and didn't really have the skill set to be able to be chazonim just annoyed everybody because they just nagged and they screamed and they repeated and they went on and on and on until it was boring. Until if you ask somebody, do you like Chazonus? They say, oh no, I don't like Chazonus. But one of the most common comments that I get after I've davened somewhere for a Shabbos is, I hate Chazonus, but I loved what you did. And
well, by the way,
Yosela and Glantz and mm-hmm. so many different pieces of Chazonus, but a little bit, not so much schmaltz that they just can't take it anymore.
I often respond when someone says, I hate Chazonus. I say, I don't think you ever really heard Chazonus. And it's also complicated by the fact that in reality, there are some Chazonim, not many around today, but in the past, perhaps, who were not inspirational, if you will. I mean, I think when the Chazon sings, he has to inspire. It doesn't have to. There has to be some soul in there, and knowledge, of course, of
Nusach. I completely agree. And I think the problem, it's a vicious circle, because when the Chazon himself is not inspired, because his community is disconnected,
mm-hmm.
so then him not being inspired once then leads them not to being inspired. And even if when he started off, half of the community wanted to hear him, because of the gabba, because of even the rabbi, he's being put down and being pushed to the back, and he's not inspired, and then he's not able to inspire. But I have to say that there are plenty of chazonim today who are inspiring communities. I mean,
yes.
Look at Nathanael Hirshtick, look at Gideon Selemai, Yanki Lemmer, each with their own different
Zevi Moller.
Zevi Moller as well, what a fabulous mm-hmm. voice and a wonderful chazon shemoyel. And what is actually common to all of them is that they all have brains. What do I mean when I say they have brains? They listen to their audience. They listen to their market. They don't overdo it. They do what their kahal wants. After all, we are shalichei tzibur. We are messengers of our community. And if we stand there just to go on and on and sing on, then we're not doing our job. But they listen. And they give exactly what they need. And therefore, they do manage to inspire. And this is why there's still chazonim mm-hmm. in shuls in America, inspiring. Right. And there's a demand for it. Unfortunately, in Israel, how many shuls have permanent chazonim? We have the great Chaim Adler in the great synagogue with Eli's amazing arrangements and Raymond's amazing arrangements. But
yes.
How many other chazonim do we have in Israel that are able to do that and inspire?
Well, the wheel goes around, though. I'm not ready to throw in the towel myself. No,
neither am I. I mean, I think the next year, my next year ahead, I think I have more bookings than I've, Baruch Hashem, Kanayin Ahara, than I've ever had before. All over the world, England, Australia, France. I'm going to Spain immediately after the 9 days davening there in the Great Synagogue, Istanbul. Where else am I going? South Africa, please God.
And I'll have to work on the United States. I have to work.
No,
on the
United States, please God, in the beginning of May. Mm-hmm. On the 10th of May in Miami, and then a week later, please God, in New York.
Great.
And then maybe in April something in Canada. So Baruch Hashem, there's lots going on, but my feeling is when I come to those kind of concerts, they don't actually want heavy chazonas.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be entertained. But then they're really not interested in hearing a piece of Kvartin or a piece of Malavsky or a piece of Yosef. They give us one or two, and that's enough.
Well, one never knows when the soul is being touched, and all it takes, perhaps, is one or two. And let's pray that at least that happens and leads to bigger and better things, for sure.
I think the direction that, as a chazan, the world is taking is that the services need to be more inclusive. Whereas maybe 50, 60 years ago, the chazan and the choir would lead the service, I think today people in the community want to join in and they want to sing. They also want to hear a piece with a chazan and the choir, but they want to be able to join in, they want to be able to sing, they want to feel involved. Karlibach was a tremendous, the Karlibach music to me is, let's put it this way, it's not my favorite kind of music, but it's been incredibly successful at getting everybody included in the davening.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to know anything about music to stand there and just chant the simple tunes that he has. And it moves people because they close their eyes, they feel connected, and they connect to Hashem.
Yes.
So the trick is to be able to put the real music of Chazonus into the davening, which really translates the words, because that's the beauty of Chazonus, but also to have inclusive music to allow the community to join in so that they feel part. They don't just feel like they're sitting at a concert or they're disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way that I find in London, in my community in Mill Hill, that's the way I find that people are most connected.
Well, so you're not pessimistic?
Not at all. Not at all. Music is always going to speak to people. The job that we have is to adjust our music to the times, to adjust our attitude, to listen to the community. You know, it's the lack of patience that people have is not necessarily only in Shul. It's everywhere. Everything has become immediate in life.
Sure.
Immediate WhatsApp, immediate emails, everything is immediate. So it's the last time somebody sat down and heard a concerto for 45 minutes. Very few people do that these days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the classical world is seeing that.
Yes.
People have less and less patience for long, long, long operas. They don't have the patience for that.
Right.
It's not only Jews and shuls.
Sure.
The world has changed. And we as Chazonim have a job. We need to change it as well. We need to say it's connected, obviously, to what we've been taught, but we need to listen to the community. That's how I think the way ahead is.
Okay. Well, Simon, I thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us, and I'm excited to hear about your upcoming tours, and just keep up the great work.
Look, Charlie, you're the job that you've been doing. We met how many years ago in New York? When was it?
Oh,
when I had the technology company, 10 years ago, 11 years ago?
That's quite a few.
I was right at the beginning of my career. I was
right.
Dreaming of one day standing on a stage with a Philharmonic Orchestra, Baruch Hashem. That now happens quite a lot.
Uh-huh.
But I remember we met, and your shlichut and your passion for this music, you and
Benny. Yeah.
Really, really, we all need to salute you because you've kept us all going. And if I ever I need a piece of music, I know that I'm going to be able to find it somewhere in one of your archives.
Okay.
On the
always.
So shukrach to you, and thank you.
Always
thank you
available.
You
well, thank you so much for your kind words. Okay, thanks again.
God bless. Be well.
Shalom. Okay, I hope that you've enjoyed these two interviews. This is Charlie Bernhout. If you have any comments or requests, you know how to reach me at cbjmusic@aol.com. cbjmusic@aol.com. Shalom.